In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Radio show. Chris Owen, Walter Duran.
Hey, go! Theodore!
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. To hear the lamentation of the women.
And welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRiley, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your super friends.
Teaming up to take you through the world of comic books.
Hey, chum, how
are
you?
Hey, pally. I'm great. How are you?
Not doing too bad.
Hey, speaking of pals and chums, if you were to have a superpower, what kind of superpower would you have, do you think?
I would want to be able to, fly.
Okay.
So make friends.
So what would, so now if you had like, you know how Batman had his ward Robin and,
Now don't start there.
I'm just asking.
I don't want to go down that route.
Are you going to have a ward of your own?
I'm going to stay away from the wards, Chris.
I'm just asking.
How about you?
I don't know.
Avoid the question. I came out straight ahead and I said, look, I don't want to go down that route.
Yeah,
stay away.
I would probably not have a ward.
Yeah,
who needs a ward? Exactly. No. Exactly.
And you got to give them like airtime.
I know. It's so true.
Paid space. And you have to devote a subplot to them.
That's true.
It's very complicated.
It's very true. It's a good point.
Yeah.
Very good point. All right. Let's keep going here. Today is Wednesday, their favorite day of the week.
Yes, it is.
And this is because we have new comics coming out today.
Yeah, we do all over the world at
all,
your local comic book shop.
All over the world. All over the world.
Except England, which we'll get to later.
Hello. Pip,
hey.
Cheerio.
Cheerio.
Yes. England has its own mess of problems with their comic distribution this week.
Yes, they do. We'll get to that later.
Yes, we will. All right. And, well, why don't we start off with new this week?
Yes.
As we always do.
These are comics, Chris, that you've picked that are hitting your local comic book shop today.
Yes.
As always, you highlight a few. And at Marvel,
we have to do the sponsors.
We have to pay for this, right?
Yeah. Somebody's got to pay for this.
Man.
New this week is brought to you by Holograph. Graphic covers, they are totally still cool, man, and will be worth a fortune. Why not buy 77 copies today?
Yeah.
Do you remember those
days?
Yeah.
Remember those days in the 90s when people used to come in and buy 50
buy like
copies
100
or
copies? Yeah. I remember working at the Silver Snail, and I think I sold 100 copies of Spider-Man number one to somebody.
Really?
Yeah.
Eh?
Pretty sure. Yeah. And X-Men number one.
Yeah.
I want 8 of every cover.
Yeah, you know, those are the good times for the retailers.
Well, yeah, they really were. Yeah. Followed closely by the bad times.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, listen, you did pick Spider-Man.
Yes, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man Limited Series 1 of 5.
Yes, and this, of course, is this is both the I'll call it the Peter Parker Spider-Man and the Morales Spider-Man. Miles Morales, I should say, and from both Amazing Spider-Man and Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh, so they've got them in one
book?
So
they're both in the same book.
Now, how do they do that?
Well, you know, I'm not going to spoil it for you.
No,
you know what? This is something you're
going to have to read. So it's like an imaginary story. It's like out of continuity.
Well, first of all, aren't they all imaginary stories? I mean, really, we're talking about comic books here, right? I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, it's not in continuity.
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
I don't think it is. It's all about getting the two together, and it is written by Brian Michael Bendis, and it is drawn by Sarah Pacelli. Interesting, with a female artist there on this one, which
is kind of rare
these days.
All right, well, Spider-Man fans will obviously be picking this up.
Absolutely,
it's got a couple things going for it. Brian Michael Bendis,
yep.
And Amazing Spider-Man.
That's right.
The two go well together.
They really do. They really do. And it's also Ultimate Spider-Man, which, of course, Bendis knows very well.
Right. And for Marvel, you got the Ultimate guys maybe reading up a little bit on Peter Parker,
yeah.
and you got the Continuity guys reading a little bit up on Miles.
Exactly, yeah.
So hopefully you get some cross-pollination there.
Oh, pollination. That's getting a little kinky there, I think, or something.
All
I
right,
don't know.
Chris, listen, let's keep it moving. For DC, you have Deathstroke.
Deathstroke, Mr. Rebel.
Number 10.
Stroke, yes. Deathstroke, number 10. Now, this was interesting because I thought I shouldn't say I thought. I thought it was interesting because Rob Liefeld is doing this, and we all know about my love for Rob Liefeld.
Yeah,
and,
you love Rob Liefeld.
I do. But not only
him of the 88-inch thighs.
It really is, and yeah. Muscles where they usually aren't supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And let's not forget the teeth. He likes to draw a lot of teeth.
He does.
Teethy women. I chose this. You know what? It really doesn't look like that bad of a book. I'm kind of bad on Liefeld a lot, but it really doesn't look that bad. And it is Liefeldish, but also it has our good friend Lobo. Now, Lobo, the character, hasn't been around for a long time.
Yeah.
And Lobo was made popular by Simon Bisley, if you remember, years ago.
Yeah.
And, kind of fell by the wayside a little bit. Lobo's back in this one.
Yeah, there's a guy that never went nowhere.
Who? Simon Bisley? Yeah, really, yeah.
Like, Lobo came out of the gate strong.
Strong, yeah.
Like, really strong.
Yeah.
And he was, like, the next Wolverine type of guy.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
And then, wah.
I think they didn't know what to do with him.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It was also kind of heavily decided upon by the artist, because whenever Simon Bisley drew him, it was like everybody loved it.
Right.
But when people who weren't Simon Bisley drawing it, people didn't care anymore, right?
Yeah. Well, so, I guess a good character has to survive many artists, right?
Absolutely, absolutely, yes.
The true test of a character is surviving many artists.
I couldn't possibly say it any better than you just
said.
And
writers.
And writers.
Right?
And
the true test of a good character is to survive the mishmash of writers and artists. And,
it's true. It's very true.
All right. All right, let's keep it going, Chris. We have
this is interesting.
That was Deathstroke number 10 from DC at your local comic shop this week.
And now we've got you're a music lover, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Okay, and now were you ever a Kiss fan?
Wanna rock and roll all night.
Yeah.
Party every day.
Exactly, right.
Remember that? That just went on forever. Yeah, it's like,
you know,
800 choruses of that stupid song.
It's
I hated
like,
it.
You know that song, Louie, Louie?
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa, we gotta go now. Yeah. Now, this is, reminds me of a Kiss song, too.
No, this one's worse.
Wanna rock and roll all... Anyways.
If you listen to the single on the radio, literally they do I Wanna Rock and Roll All Night. Like, it's like a loop, like somebody forgot to turn it off for what?
It's a skipping record.
It 4 just minutes.
Of, yeah. Well, for those Kiss fans out there, there is a new Kiss comic book by IDW. This is Dressed to Kill Part 1. And this is by both Chris Ryle and Jamal Eagle. Now, Jamal Eagle has been around for a long time.
Yes,
he's done stuff for DC. I'm not too familiar with Ryle, but Jamal Eagle has been around for a while. And of course, you know, for those of you who like Kiss comics, and this has all the kind of stuff that a Kiss comic should have in it. It's got some scantily clad women in it,
and it's got them in makeup.
And it's got some sort of
Chris. You and I
Satanism
both know a guy that
thing.
Gets dressed up as Paul Stanley every year to go to Halloween.
That's right. Yeah,
he
that's
loves
right.
Kiss.
Yes, he loves
and
his
he
Kiss.
Looks like Paul Stanley.
I know.
Oh.
It's crazy, eh?
All right. So IDW, Kiss number 1 at your local comic shop today.
Absolutely, yes.
Dressed to Kill Part 1.
Yes.
All right.
Finally, for our kids' pick of the week. Now, this is something that completely escaped my radar, and I didn't even know. I mean, maybe I knew, but maybe I'd forgotten or something.
You know, I find it hard to believe anything in comics gets by you.
I know. It really is. But you know what? I didn't realize that there was a new Richie Rich comic book out there. And
you're our Richie Rich fan.
I know. This is the thing. So this is Richie Rich number 5 in Hero for a Day. And they're doing a parody of a X-Men comic on the front there. And it just looks really cool. They've got all the different kinds of artists and stories and writers in there, and it just looks like a really great kids comic.
Okay,
and,
Chris.
What?
Yeah. It's A Tale of Two Cities.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Yeah.
A Tale of Two Cities.
Okay.
Back in the day, back in the 50s, you used to have two hot properties that were not more than two, but I'm talking about just these two.
Right.
That were not superheroes and that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Archie Andrews.
Yep.
And Richie Rich.
And Richie Rich, yeah.
Both were read by millions of kids.
Yep, that's right.
Archie is still a dominant character. Where did Richie Rich go wrong? Why did he go down?
It's a great question. I think it probably has something to do with probably the distribution channels. Because Richie Rich was still being published in the 80s.
Right.
But really, it was you could only find it at like the odd variety store.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't don't even remember seeing him at the comic
book shops. I got
my
own theory.
What's that?
It's relating. Okay. Here's Archie was a teenager trying to get laid. And Richie Rich is like some billionaire kid.
That's true.
You know, who can relate to that? Right?
Yeah, but it was fun reading Richie Rich stuff, right? You know, like
for who?
For kids who.
Daddy Warbucks here, right there.
It was for kids that knew they would never get more than $5 a week.
Five
I don't know.
Bucks a week. All right. Anyway, so it's good that Richie Rich is trying to come back. I'm not convinced that the character Richie Rich will be taken into the bosom of
the
did
bosom.
I say bosom.
Bosom.
I mean, into the, you know, into the group.
Bosom.
Right. You know, like the kids today won't catch on to him. But, he won't catch on again is what I'm
saying.
Right.
But you know what's interesting about this book is that there are actually using older stories and reprinting some of the older stories in here as well.
Right.
So it's
because right. they're starved for content. Right.
Well, you try coming up with a Richie Rich story
exactly.
these days.
All
I'm
right.
just saying.
All right, Chris, listen, plug in some music. That's it for new this week. Please head into your local comic book shop. There are millions of other comics released today. And just go in and peruse.
All right. Well, let's have a little Magneto and the Titanium Man here.
Love that song, Chris. Love it. Love it.
Yeah,
love it.
Yeah, that's by
one
Wings.
Of my, yeah,
Wings, of course. Yeah.
Absolutely. Love it. Do you think if the Beatles were still together at that point, that would have been even better?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I think we should try to get Paul McCartney on the show.
You know, that'd
really,
be
I mean,
good.
Clearly, he's a comic fan, right?
Absolutely
if he's
right.
Songs
absolutely
about,
right.
About yeah. Magneto.
Excellent, Chris. Well, yeah. We're on that right away.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Yeah, let's keep this thing going, Chris. What's next?
We have Comic Culture Mailbag is up next.
Do you have a sponsor?
In fact, I do. Good. The Comic Culture Mailbag is brought to you by the Carter Invisible Vehicle Company. Do you need a super stealthy jet car and or submersible? Then you won't believe your eyes when you don't see our deals. Get it? Don't see them, you know?
I don't get it.
You know, it's tough working with you sometimes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Chris, Comic Culture Mailbag this week is cool because it's addressed to us both.
Oh,
so
all right.
I think the George S. from Calgary is about to find out who's smarter, I think.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
All right. Dear Chris and Walt. Now that the first issue of Before Watchmen is out, what do you think of it and the whole controversy?
Right. Okay. Walt, I'll let you tackle that one first.
Yeah. Well, Darwin Cook's first salvo I liked.
Yep.
Okay. I think Darwin Cook was a great pick.
Yep.
Darwin Cook can write and draw like nobody today.
Right.
Like, I mean, you know, like – take on both duties beautifully at once, right?
Right.
I don't think there's any sacrilege at all.
No.
I think it's good. I think it was a great idea, Watchmen, at the beginning. And I think there's absolutely zero wrong with expanding on it with other creators and adding to the lore. And fans of the Watchmen can get new related material, Watchmen material, with other creators chiming in.
Yep.
It might not be as heavy, as pertinent, as everlasting as Alan Moore's Watchmen.
Yeah.
you know, it might not make the top 100 novels of all time on Time's list.
Right, right, yeah, I agree.
But it's going to be great for comic book fans.
Yep, and you know what?
That's my take.
Okay, and I completely agree with almost everything you've said there.
Almost.
Well, you know, okay, like Darwin Cook, great storyteller in his own right, right?
Sure.
And so, you know, after reading the first issue there, I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought that you know, Darwin's did some great storytelling in it. You know, and I completely agree with the fact that I really don't see a problem with going back and taking someone else's characters and reworking them. I mean, we wouldn't have half the characters we have nowadays,
right?
Without a rework.
If they weren't reworked,
right?
Right.
And you know, and I hate to say it, but I've said it before. Alan Moore has taken most of other people's characters and
sure.
reworked it, right?
Yeah.
You know, Swamp Thing, and yep. you know, all that kind of stuff. So I don't see a problem with it. I mean, I know that he doesn't like it when people do these kind of things to his babies, I'll call it.
Right.
But you know what? It's the way it goes.
I'm
right?
sure Bernie Wrightson had a problem with him too. But
yeah, and
you know,
Len Wein.
You don't see
right?
him crying.
You don't see Len Wein saying, "Hey, don't ever use my Swamp Thing or my Wolverine
right.
for that matter."
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, hey, I created these things. You're not allowed to use them.
Right.
So what's wrong with another creator just taking some of what somebody else has done and adding to it?
Whether I'll tell you what's wrong with it. Absolutely nothing. Say it again. Listen, no, but you're
sorry.
Right, Chris. You're right. I think we're both in agreement. Both yeah. in we're what's it? There's a consensus at
consensus,
the table.
That's right. I completely agree.
And I hope George S. from Calgary that helps you out a little bit.
Yes, that's great. Thank you, George.
All right, so let's move on. Where are we going? We're going right into some.
Let's go right into
trailer trash.
Trailer trash. Yes,
okay. Now this trailer trash this week, Chris, is. Now, you're a Walking Dead fan.
I am.
I haven't seen not one episode.
Oh, you know what? You got to see it. You know,
it's scary.
Look at
that.
Our engineer, Mitch, is looking over at us, shaking his head.
Have you seen some, Mitch?
He's probably seen
too.
The whole thing. Are you right. kidding? He's got a Cannibal Corpse t-shirt on. I'm pretty sure he's seen The Walking Dead.
Right yeah. on.
So,
all right. Well, I haven't seen any, but apparently in the book, there's a the governator.
The governor.
The governor.
Yeah.
He is a real badass character.
But it's not, you know, not Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No,
okay,
no, the governor.
You yeah. said governator.
I'm sorry, I made a mistake.
All right, okay. All right.
I was hungry and I had it on my mind.
What?
Never mind. So in the TV series, the governor hasn't been introduced yet.
No, you're right.
So in the first episode of season 3?
Yes, okay.
They're going to be introducing the governor.
Right.
And online now they have pictures of the governor.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Very cool.
And there's some sort of British actor, and he's going to come out and say, "I say, zombies, tip tip.
Tip tip.
In line,
cheerio.
Now. Cheerio.
Hurry up, eat some more
Hurry
zombies.
Up, let's go." Anyway, David Morrissey is the governor, and what they're saying is it's very exciting, I guess, if you're a Walking Dead fan, because they're not going to tame him down for TV.
Right.
He's going to be as badass, if not worse.
Apparently, he's a bit of a badass in the comic.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's quite kind of ruthless sometimes.
Yes.
And people were worried that they might take that same character and, you know, water him down a bit.
Water him down.
TV, you know. But as Kirkman has told the TV Guide, and I quote.
The TV Guide.
The governor in the show is definitely going to be the governor in the comic. I think he definitely is going to be the character that people love to hate and are absolutely entertained by, but also somewhat terrified of. He's definitely going to be a very important character in the very nuanced character. We're not going to be watering him down. And those are the words from Robert Kirkman himself.
Straight out of the horse's mouth.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay. Exciting news for Walking Dead.
Now, this is interesting. This is like, that's the only bit of trailer trash we have this week.
Listen, we have such a thick show. Thick.
You did say show, right?
Yeah. Okay. We have a thick show.
Okay.
We have a very, very, very thick and juicy show.
Oh, good. It's like, you're getting me all hungry. It's like
yeah.
a burger or
and
something.
And so, it's the Baconator, right? It's at the Baconator.
Well, that's what you're
got
getting
me
at.
Started.
Baconator.
Yeah, and I can't get my mind off it now.
All right.
I'll stay on target. Anyway, Walking Dead, that's we're going to stop trailer trash there to
All right.
get into the other news.
All right, let's All go right. into industry news. And industry news is brought to you by Iron Man number 55. Pick up a first appearance of Thanos today. Big thanks go out to Joss Whedon and speculators everywhere.
You know, I sold an Iron Man 55. I was at that Niagara Falls.
Yeah, you had,
Niagara
Falls. You had a pretty pricey one, if I remember.
Yeah, Niagara Falls Comic Con.
Right.
So Here's the thing. I hope the buyer isn't listening.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Here's the thing. This is a comic that would normally – I would normally have priced that – I'm going to make numbers up here – at $10.
Okay.
And because it was so hot, I put like 25 on it.
Right.
I just went crazy. Yeah. I got like mental.
And
right?
Did you get the 25?
And we sold it, yeah.
All for all $25?
Well, close. Oh. Say 22.
Wow. Really?
Right. Yeah. So
I've owned that comic a couple times myself.
Yeah, well, wasn't that hard a comic
to really
have?
Wasn't, no.
And then 2 seconds, Chris. Yep. 2 seconds of film.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's $1 million comic.
Yeah. Yeah, but just let's just wait until 10 years from now when it'll go back to being a 10-second.
A 10-second comic. Right on. Yeah. Anyway, where were we?
Industry news.
All right.
We got to talk about DC Zeroes.
Oh yeah, what's that all about?
So it turns out that sometime in September. DC is going to be publishing an issue zero for all of their 52 comics, mm-hmm. all the new 52 titles, I should say.
So they're inserting like a zero in September,
yeah.
And then they're going back to normal number sequence in October.
Exactly, right. Yes. So it's going to be regular, and then zero, and then regular after
so
that.
So these are what? There's like standalone issues?
Well, that's what I was getting to. So,
I'm sorry.
So that's all right. So
step
they
on your
have
toes there, pal.
Well, I'm used to it. It's okay. Right. You're taller than me. It's going to be standalone issues as well as some origin issues, depending on the character, depending on the comic. But they're all going to be standalone and origin or somehow relating to the origin comic.
Right.
So I think this is sort of another chance for people to jump on to the new 52.
If they missed it.
If they missed the entire startup a year ago.
Like, where the heck were they for a year?
Well, you know
were
what?
Were they on an island?
Maybe they were. Maybe they were on Lost.
Lost.
Yeah, maybe they were on Lost. Maybe on Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan.
You never
I
know.
I used to love that.
Skipper!
Yeah.
Dope! Gilligan! Yeah. So,
Ginger.
In case
Ginger
you
or Marianne, them, Chris?
Oh, always Marianne.
Always?
Coconut cream pies? Hello?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
Always Marianne.
All right.
Betty or Wilma?
Betty.
Okay, Betty or Veronica?
Wilma.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
All right.
Okay,
so
where were we?
Anyway, so September issue zeros. Now, in addition to the regular New 52 comics that are going to have issue zeros, DC is also going to add 4 more titles to their roundup of comics there. Four more. Now, they're going to have Night of the Owls spinoff called Talon. Now, this is the Night of the Owls was a storyline occurring in the Batman comic. There's going to be a Phantom Stranger comic, which is
interesting because
Phantom Stranger is really – he's one of those cool –
he's
characters.
One of those guys, Chris. He's like the shadow.
Yep, yep. Dead man.
Yep. He has had 78 attempted comebacks.
Yep.
And not one of them
and
has succeeded.
They never stick.
And why would they go for 79?
Do you remember, now you're a fan of exploitation movies of old, I'll call
sure
it.
Sure am.
Do you have that Phantom Stranger comic where it has the it's like a voodoo robot on it, and it's like rising from the dead. I think isn't that Phantom Stranger comic? Do you know what I'm talking about here?
I'm pretty sure it's
anyways.
Yeah.
It reminded me of an old exploitation.
Okay, fair enough. I still don't think it's going to work.
All right. So anyways,
what else is there?
So we got Team 7, which is going to merge all the Wildstorm characters and the DC Universe characters.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, there's going to be a fantasy title called Sword of Sorcery, which I'm not too sure if this is going to be.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
It's not
you know, because this I can't see it being part of the regular DC universe.
Unfortunately, that whole sword and sorcery stuff, I don't know what it is.
Never
I love that crap.
I like it too.
I love it. John Carter of Mars.
Yeah.
It was a good movie.
Conan.
I love it.
Yeah.
But yet, you know what? They go to market and nobody goes.
Now, DC had a Sword of Sorcery comic before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that only lasted like, what, 12 issues?
Yeah.
Or
and
like
there
that?
Was, what was it, Warlord? Mike Grell's Warlord.
Yeah.
And
that lasted
yeah.
a little longer.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But I don't know. Anyway, that was their answer to Conan. But
yeah.
Yeah. But those times have gone, it seems. I don't know.
Well, the good thing that – well, here's the thing. Sword of Sorcery series will be written by Christy Marks, who I'm not familiar at all with that name.
Mm-hmm.
However, it is going to be drawn
by – That's Carl's great-great-granddaughter.
I think I'd say Groucho's great-great-granddaughter.
Maybe even that,
It is going to be drawn by Aaron Lopresti, who's been around for a long time. X-Men.
Hell of a restaurant downtown Hamilton. His
uncle great, has. Yes, yeah. Yes. Lopresti's, yeah. Okay. But it's also – but here, you keep cutting me off here.
Sorry.
You know, it's going to have the return of Amethyst, Princess of Gemworld.
Wow.
Do you remember that character?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so Amethyst is going to be
– She had like a, four-issue run?
Miniseries or something like that. Yes.
Yeah. So that's going nowhere. That's going zero. It's going nowhere.
I'm just saying.
It's over, right?
Yeah, just saying.
Speaking of it's over, though, to make way for these four, Chris, DC is canned three.
Right, which is crazy. So now,
I don't think it's crazy. Well,
hold on. So the new 52 titles then had four. So it makes it the new 56, but then they're minusing three.
So then now it's the new 53. Yeah, but they have time.
Are they going to call it the new 53, or they're just going to?
Well, Chris, eventually the new 52 won't be the new 52. Well, it will be. You know, that was the launch, right?
Right.
DC's hoping that's the 152, right?
I suppose, yeah. I suppose you're
so,
right.
So the three that are getting canceled, the three that are getting the axe are Resurrection Man.
Yeah.
Hold on, no.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, yeah, Resurrection Man, Captain Atom.
Yep.
And Voodoo.
Yeah.
That you do.
Voodoo was one of the ones we said was probably be
that lasted
canceled.
Longer than we
it
thought.
Did. Yeah, we thought six issues and out, but it's actually
it's going to be 12. Yeah, and that'll be two graphic novels, right? Yeah. And so that's sad. I mean, but like you and I talked about before with DC, when they went ahead with their new 52, I think they knew that not all 52 would stick.
Oh, I'm sure of it. Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things where they put out as many as they can. And they honestly try as hard as they can with all of them, but you know it's just sometimes they just don't work, right?
Right on. All right, Chris. What are we doing?
We're gonna have a quick musical interlude here.
I could tell because you were fidgeting, right? I was looking at you. I was trying to talk to you. I was trying to engage.
You know why you gotta be like?
Yeah, you're fidgeting. I knew.
I'm engaged. Well, I mean,
yes, you are.
I am engaged.
Good for you.
I don't know if our listeners know that I'm actually engaged.
You
to,
are
to
engaged.
Be married.
Yeah, that is hard to believe
to a woman.
Yeah,
I
know.
Not like a gorilla.
Not
or
like
something.
A Wookiee or
yeah,
something.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's actually by another female. Yeah, or a female. Yeah.
All right, Chris, you better get music going before.
All right. You know what? This is one I've only played a couple times. Let's go back to Metamorpho.
Story of the Element Man.
Metamorpho, Metamorpho.
Starts out in old Egypt land.
Metamorpho, Metamorpho.
Rex Mason was his real name.
Metamorpho, Metamorpho.
A soldier of fortune didn't care about fame.
Metamorpho, Metamorpho.
Until fate took a hand in the game. What a change. Glowing meteorite.
Metamorpho, Metamorpho.
Shooting cosmic rays stronger than the sun through his body and brain. And when it was done, there, yeah, there, yeah, there, yeah, 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 there stood the Element Man.
Metamorpho. Chris, I love that song.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
Metamorpho,
of course.
Metamorpho.
Famously recorded at the Manhattan YMCA.
Absolutely, yeah.
Back in 71, I think.
Right. I think you're absolutely right on that. Yes.
Chris, let's keep going. How about this cartoon, The Ultimate Spider-Man?
Yeah, it's a great series.
Yeah. Yeah. Disney has ordered a second season.
That's awesome.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good. Right. And you know what? I think this is doing so well because it does have a lot of great talent behind it, believe it or not. Including Paul Dini, who's done a lot for Batman, Joe Quesada, and Brian Michael Bendis. That name keeps on coming up all the time, eh?
Yeah, Bendis, busy boy.
He has his fingers in everything.
Oh, Bendis? Wow. He is like – but he's driving Marvel's kind of
true.
Continuity, really.
But get this. So in the second
get
season –
get this.
In the second season of Ultimate Spider-Man, we're going to have Spidey teaming up with the Avengers – that's going to actually mirror the Joss Whedon Avengers. Now, this is strange. Now, I'm going to just take half a second here because this
go ahead. You take your time.
This is unfortunate.
I want you to go.
This is unfortunate that
why?
That the movies that have been coming out are not because, you know, like Sony owns the rights to, you know, X-Men and Spider-Man, and I think Fox owns like Fantastic Four or something.
Right.
Like, I don't know the exact details.
Right.
And I apologize for that. And of course, Marvel has the Avengers and all that stuff. So now in cartoon form, though, the Avengers can appear in the Spider-Man cartoon. However, in the movies forms, the Avengers can't appear in the Spider-Man movies because it's all owned by different rights and all that kind of stuff. And it would just be really nice if Marvel just retained the rights to everything and could put out great movies all on their own.
You know, I bet you a billion fans agree with you.
Right.
I'm one of them, right?
Right.
But business is business, right?
Right.
And 15 years ago, Marvel didn't have ambitions. They weren't owned by Disney. They didn't have the movie ambitions. So they did the right thing by licensing these things. And really, if you look back, you could argue that Avengers success was because of Sony's Amazing Spider-Man first movie success.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
right?
was the first big, you know, $100 million comic book movie.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, wow, you know, this is a good format. This
yeah,
is a good thing,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it would be great.
So you're saying we needed it in order to
well,
get to this
yeah,
point
at the
now.
Time. It's just what happened, but I don't know why, you know, these lawyers at these big movie companies, they're sitting on their duffs, drinking Duff beer.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, doing nothing.
Because you can't get enough of that wonderful Duff.
Yeah, and drinking their pina coladas or whatever, you know. And why don't they get together and draw up some habeas corpuses?
Exactly. There you
and,
go.
And come up with like a way that one can borrow from the other.
Yeah, why not?
You
right?
Know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
I
it can be
completely
done.
Agree.
Right?
Anything can be done.
Sony won't give up Spider-Man rights, but why can't Sony negotiate?
Why can't there be a cameo?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's my point.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that's what we should
or even
expect.
A mention. Oh, we can't call in Spider-Man because he's too busy, you know, battling Doc Ock.
Right, right. Yeah, we
or
call
something.
Him. Hey, you know what? And Marvel's still got the tarantula, right?
Crickets.
Hello.
Hello. TV.
This thing
hello.
On?
Hello. What?
Hello.
Yeah. Good call there, Walt. Good call.
All right, Chris. Let's move on. How about this?
How about
this is kind of cheesy. The Will Eisner. You know, Will Eisner, the grandfather, the father of graphic novels.
Yes. Yes.
The big annual award.
Creator of Sheena.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He, you know, the Will Eisner Awards are some of the most North American, most
well,
prestigious
they're
awards.
Very, yeah, they're yeah. very prestigious for
there's
industry.
A new Will Eisner Award for libraries.
Oh, okay. Right? That's great.
So, libraries can win the prestigious Will Eisner Award. I'm reading this. I'm going, first thing I
this
thought
is
was.
Great.
Yeah. I go, man, if you walk into a library and they present graphic novels in a cool format.
Yeah,
they have
presenting
readings
well
and they have signings and stuff. They can win this Will Eisner Award.
Right.
And then the way I read it, though, this isn't the case at all.
Why? What do you mean?
Well, it says here, librarians attending the American Library Association convention in Anaheim can register to win a prize. So basically some, you know, bum but Alabama you know, library that has nothing in it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I'm going to apply, Josh. You know, let's apply there, Jethro. And then they win, but they have nothing. So it doesn't sound like it's the libraries are being rewarded.
I don't think it's a lottery. Like, I don't think they're going to pull names
well,
out of
the
hat.
Well, that's the way I read it, Chris.
No.
It says, can register to win the prize.
Well, okay, how else are they going to know if they have comics or not? So they have to register somehow. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they have to tell. Like, I mean, you've won your the store award, right?
Yeah, but I paid a guy off.
Well, exactly. That's my point. You paid something. You had to let somebody know that you were interested in winning.
I mean,
you have to register at some point. You have to like let people know.
Okay, so what you're saying
even
is
even if it's like a five page essay, you know, why your store is the best. Right.
Right, yeah.
I don't think it's just a matter of like, here's my $2.
Here's my $2. Here's my business card.
Yeah.
Where's the buffet?
Drop your business card in the fishbowl.
Right. All right. Well. That's what I thought.
I don't think it's
so
like
you're
that.
Saying it's not like that.
Well, I don't know for sure, but I'm saying.
Oh, so now you don't know.
Well, I never said
all
I didn't
know. All of a
sudden,
you were sure of yourself a minute ago, you know, and now you don't know.
I never said I knew. I'm saying this is the way I think, and it's a scary place the way I think. But you know, for some reason, people like to listen to it.
All right. Well, Chris and I, neither of us apparently know anything about the story. So what I'll leave it at is this. The Will Eisner Award for Libraries should be awarded to the library that promotes graphic novels to their fullest.
I completely agree.
Have summer reading programs, have creator signings, just like a comic shop.
Yeah,
it should go to the one that merits the award, not a fill in a ballot type of award.
I don't think it's a fill in the ballot. What are they? Some sort of lottery?
We already did this, Chris.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
You know, why is it that you can continue on with these things, but I can't?
Chris, you know, May was a banner month for comics.
I'm sorry, I stopped listening to you there for a
second. Banner month. It was a huge month for comics, May 2012.
Now, I see that the top five titles sold mm-hmm. more than 100,000 comics.
Great.
Which is good.
And look at the top two, the Avengers versus X-Men 3 and 4,
yeah.
You know, up in the high 170s.
We haven't seen that for a long time.
Long time. So this is a great thing. Year over year, comic sales were up 40% from last May.
Yep.
Year over year, graphic novel sales were up 40% from last May.
Right.
These are huge, huge increases in numbers. And the trick now is, I guess, what am I guessing?
I don't know where you're going with this.
Things are going well. Right.
Well, clearly they are.
The trick is to keep the ball rolling.
Right. Well, it seems like the whole Night of the Owls event storyline that was going on really helped propel Batman into the top echelon.
You look at top 10, you got Detective, Batman, Batman Annual.
And Batman Annual had a Night of the Owls storyline.
Yeah, Batman Inc.
Yeah.
So you got a lot of Batman titles in the top 10.
Yeah, this is great. This is awesome.
So, great numbers.
But, you know, but if you look at the rest of the issues there, though.
Okay,
so you've got in the top two are Avengers versus X-Men.
Yeah.
Then you've got Batman and then Justice League, Batman Annual. Then you've got another Avengers versus X-Men,
mm-hmm.
AVX versus number two. But then it's all like until what about 20 or 14 or 15 down, then it's all DC again. Right?
Yeah.
Until Uncanny X-Men. So it seems like DC is still, reigning the roost here over here.
Yeah, but just in the top echelon of books, because if you look at the next page, Chris, Marvel still holds the dollar share and the market share, and the unit share of the market.
Right.
Marvel edges DC in the dollar share by about 3%, and they edge in the unit share by about 2%.
Now, here's a question for you.
They still have more.
Okay. Here's my question for you then.
Yo.
Now, is it because that they have better characters?
They have more.
I'm saying, do they have better characters that people are more concerned about? Like, you know, and we talked about this last week. We briefly talked. I asked you the question of, you know, where is DC's, you know, main black hero? Right.
Yeah, you're right.
And they don't have one.
You're right.
I think DC needs to go out and have a better diversity of characters that people are going to be interested in buying.
You're absolutely right. I think also that DC runs out. You go like DC Comics, Batman, woo!
Yeah.
Superman, woo!
Yeah. Wonder Woman,
Green Lantern, and you ran out, right? You know, like whereas, you know, kids are reading Deadpool, they're loving it. They're reading Wolverine, they're loving it. They're doing the X-Men team, they're loving it. They're loving Spider-Man, they're loving Iron Man, they're loving Hulk.
Yeah.
They're loving Daredevil now. Like, they're loving everything. Like, Marvel's got a lot of guys who love it.
You know, DC's really got to get on the movie bandwagon.
A lot of loving over at Marvel, Chris.
Got to get on the movie bandwagon. DC's got to come out with some good movies that are going to help propel the cross-selling of their books. Because right now, they've got Batman. But after that, it's wah-wah-wah, right?
I know, pretty well.
So,
pretty well. Well, look at that top 10, right? Yeah. It's all Batman and, JLA, which Batman is the central character, right? So you're right. But I didn't like, though, in these January – did I say January?
January.
I meant May.
January.
These May numbers is the unit share for Marvel and DC is over 75%.
Yeah.
It hasn't been that high in a long time.
Usually it's around 70-ish or
yeah, like in the two-thirds area. And like IDW, Dark Horse, Image, Dynamite, Boom, they have a trillion great properties.
Yes.
I don't understand how they can't bust through for a larger share of that pie.
I wonder if it just comes down to dollars, right? Like, I mean, so here's – Here, I'm your average Joe comic collector. I've got
average Joe.
I've got $20 to spend on comics.
Right,
right. So I'm going to come into the store and I'm looking at all the different comics. Oh, hey, AVX, that looks awesome. I want to get that for sure.
Yeah,
Night of the Owls. Well, I got to get that too. Oh, the annual came out this year. I better get that as well.
Right.
And then after that, you know, Spider-Man. I'm still interested in what's going on with that. And then all of a sudden, all their money is being spent up by Marvel and DC. And then I could either get one of the IDW books, or I can get one Dark Horse book, or I can get one Dynamite book. You know.
So like, you're saying. What you're saying. This is what you're saying,
here's
I think.
What I'm saying.
Right. The Doctor Who guys, just the diehard Doctor Who guys are buying the IDW
yes.
Doctor Who. The diehide Star Wars guys are buying the Dark Horse Star Wars.
Yeah.
But it's just the pop culturalist comic consumers can't afford.
Everything.
Once they get past their love, if they're DC guys, once they get past their three or four books, if they're Marvel guys, once they get past their five or six books,
yeah.
There's not that much left over.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course there's guys out there who are going to buy one of everything out there, but they're few and far between. A lot of guys will just buy their favorite books and then call it a day, right?
Right, right. All right. Well, listen, I guess what the good news here is, above and beyond everything else, is that the numbers are up.
Yes.
What was my other thing? The graphic novels. I had a list of the graphic novels.
Yeah, I got it right here. So graphic novels, Justice League Volume 1 Origin hardcover is the number one trade for May, rather, I should say. And then Batman, Court of the Owls. And then Walking Dead Volume 1. Wow, you know, you just can't – that one just won't die.
Yeah, I hate that. I hate that. I hate Walking Dead being in there.
All in all, these are pretty good because you've got – these are all newer graphic novels. Justice League, Batman Death by Design, Animal Man, Walking Dead number 4. That's weird.
Now, did you notice that Animal Man?
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, it beat out Green Lantern.
Yeah,
Sinestro hardcover.
Yeah, and Watchmen.
Yeah,
and I find it weird. You know, Watchmen.
Well, Watchmen. It should be out. Watchmen. Yeah. Watchmen's 78 years old.
But Watchmen hasn't been on the list for a while. Now it's back up again. That must be
something
to do with the before Watchmen, though, right?
Yeah, yeah, right. There's reinterest. Is that right?
Yeah,
re-interest?
Sure. Why not?
It's interesting that Animal Man, though, as kind of, you know, you have your staple Justice League, your staple Batmans,
yep.
And then of all the other ones that month, DC,
it's
including
Animal
Green
Man,
Lantern, that it's Animal Man.
And that's by Jeff Lemire.
Yeah. So shows you something for the writing.
Yep, that's
anyway,
good.
You and I have talked this 100 times. One day, no Watchmen, no Walking Dead.
Yeah.
The top 10 graphic novels will be the top 10 new graphic novels.
Right, and we're getting close to that.
Yeah,
we are.
We're getting better than it was before.
Because remember, it used to always be Killing Joke, Dark Knight Returns,
Scott Pilgrim,
Watchmen,
and Walking Dead.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
All right, let's move it on. Chris, what are we doing now? Are we keeping going?
Yeah, we'll keep going. Let's do one more quick story.
All right.
Actually, you know what? Let's can the quick story. We'll do a quick musical interlude. Let's give me a second here to get something going here. And
do you want me to sing? You want me to talk?
Would you mind? That'd be great.
Tell a
joke? I really appreciate that. Yeah. Do you even know any good jokes anymore? I mean, I remember you used to be a funny guy, but I don't know. Is that? I don't know. I'm confused these days.
Keep digging deeper, Chris. Keep digging deeper. I'm not going to help you now. You're on your own, pal.
Nice. All right.
Spider-Man does whatever.
Great tune, Chris. That, of course, was Aerosmith.
Oh, how'd you know that?
I'm a big Aerosmith fan.
Yeah, I know that, but I just didn't think you'd know it was Spider-Man. You know, with Spider-Man and all that,
Robert, what's his name? Jeff, Chris, Robert, Taylor, Tyler.
Right, Liv Tyler.
Liv, Tyler's dad.
There you go. Steven.
Very distinctive voice. Anyway, okay, let's keep going here, Chris. The next segment brought to you by Before Watchmen.
Wait. Okay, got it. Yeah.
Ever wonder what a night owl's great grandpappy was doing during the Civil War? Well,
Jedediah.
DC has the answer for you. You know what he was doing, eh?
What's that?
Making moonshine.
Probably, yeah.
Right.
Jedediah Owl.
Jedediah over down at, what's that company there that makes the sour mash whiskey?
Jack Daniels.
Yeah. Right on.
All right.
All right there, Jethro.
So what do we got
next?
We're
going to talk about our intrepid reporter, Danny Chan.
Oh, Danny from across the pond.
Yes, I say Danny.
Tip,
Danny.
Cheerio.
He did a brilliant post on Comic Book Daily about a slob.
Slob.
He's a British banker.
Oh, well.
By day and a superhero by night.
I think that, you know, I think you've just summed up a lot of people's dream jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Banker by day, superhero by night.
Yeah.
So apparently.
What, is he go to, you say, hello, I'm the banker?
No, I think he says he goes to people in distress, I think.
Because that would scare most people.
He goes, right then, mate. You need a hand there. You need an assistance. And, you know, the guy will say, oh, sod off, you wanker.
Oh, well, that's true. So does this guy have a name?
The statesman.
Oh, well.
Because the British are very proper. Not necessarily proper, which they are. But they pride themselves in being diplomats.
Okay.
You know, the French,
yes.
They think they're the world's best diplomats.
Well, that's true, yes.
But the British think that they're the world's best diplomats.
Right.
Thus the rivalry.
Right. Okay.
So anyway, but didn't that happened before? You see, is this like an epidemic? This is my point.
Okay.
There's a guy in Brazil. Remember years ago, a couple years ago in Seattle?
Right.
There was that team of guys.
Yeah.
And it's all that kick-ass stuff, right?
Well, yeah. And then, there's a guy. Remember Brazil? The Brazilian government actually hired a guy to dress up like Batman.
Right.
And now, more recently, I don't know if you read about this in the paper, but I want to say it was in Vancouver. I really don't remember exactly, but I think it was Vancouver.
Let's say Vancouver.
So there was a team of guys who they were getting tired of pedophiles, right?
Who isn't?
Well, yeah. I'm
sick of them, tell you the truth.
Agreedly so.
Right.
So basically they were posing as like 14 or 15-year-old girls online to try to lure in pedophiles. And then they would meet up with them at some, you know, agreed place and time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would basically go and like beat the guy up kind of thing. So it was sort of like all big – but then the police got involved because then they were going on the same websites that the pedophiles were going on.
Right.
So then they were getting arrested for luring and attracting. And, you know, so it became very weird. But there was, like, guys dressing up as, like, Batman and Superman trying to go beat up pedophiles, which, you know, really, I don't have a problem with.
Not that there's anything wrong with
that. No, but
I guess it's outside the law.
Exactly.
You cannot be a – what's it called?
A vigilante, yes.
Yeah, that's not the law, which really puts every single superhero that we're reading about outside the law.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's really what they all are, right?
Right.
But even Commissioner Gordon, he doesn't mind a little bit of Batman.
Right. Every now and then turn a blind eye to
Batman, beating
the crap out of some
exactly,
poor shot.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
So, well, you know what? I mean, I guess I thought this was like a Western Hemisphere thing, but now even
I think it's all over England. Jolly old England,
right,
I say.
Then
now does this mean that – is anybody going to dress up as like, you know, a Doctor Who character?
Well, he has like the Union Jack.
His
uniform is a Union Jack. But the great part about it is if you go on Danny's post there, this gentleman is like a – well, I guess what would the kind word be? You know, too many taters and mash.
Right.
He's a portly fellow.
Oh, is he?
Jolly, you know. He just doesn't seem to fit the part of a superhero.
Do you think that Kick-Ass started all this?
In a way, I guess.
Or do you think
– maybe because people – it's all a reflection of society. People
right.
are, you know, they're bombarded with these images.
With superheroes.
These, positive things about what superheroes are doing. And,
right.
and you know what? People are generally speaking, you know, they just feel so helpless.
That is true.
You
that
know?
Is
and it's
true,
like,
yeah.
And it gets to the point of a sickness maybe where they go, you know, darn it, I'm going to wear
I'm going to do something.
Yes. Where are my daughter's ballet leotards? I'm going to put those on and go out and fight crime.
Where's my tutu?
Yeah. All right. Anyway. All right. More from across the pond.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I mean, I was going to say, so did he do anything with the whole Diamond Jubilee thing or what's going on with
that?
Well,
remember he reported from the – actually, he did report from the Diamond Jubilee.
Right. And is there anything more on that?
I think, Danny, I could be mistaken, but I think he might have got an interview with the Queen.
Oh, that'd be nice. Yeah.
I could be wrong. Check the website for that.
Okay.
But apparently, though, the Diamond Jubilee last week, the British. The people.
Right.
The comic fans.
Korgov.
Right. They got their comics 2 days late
right.
because, you know, you can't get stuff in and out because it's the Jubilee, right?
Right,
you
know? Right.
And this week as well, Diamond is shipping the comic books to the British fans on Thursday.
Right? Oh, so they're getting them late.
2 weeks in a row that the British are getting their comics
they're
late.
Just...
I can smell a British comic party.
They've been,
where they dump comics into the bay of Southampton, and you know, and say,
like
"Enough
party.
With American comics!
Off with their heads!
Off with their heads!"
Yes.
Anyway,
I don't think that'll be happening.
No,
no.
Danny, keep up the good work over in jolly
yes,
old
thanks,
England,
Danny.
And we look forward to your reports all the time. Anyways, Chris, what else we have?
Well, you know, this is Father's Day is coming up this Sunday. You know, and just wondering if you could come up with, you know, you're a father, you like comic books. Now, if you had to buy somebody a comic book related thing, what would you buy for the father that has it all?
Right. You know what? I've often thought of what I would get my father for. What is comic books? He said, for kids. Why you give me this? What are you, stupid? 100 years you go to school. You learn nothing. This is what would happen if I
right,
bought my
right,
dad a comic.
Right,
I'm just
right.
going through the scenario.
Yeah,
would be,
yeah.
And that would be the tame version,
yeah.
right? A lot of swear words. Be thrown.
Right, right. And probably some Slivovich being drank afterwards.
Yeah, a little bit of Slivo in there. Yeah. And but I don't know. I wish I think what you would do, I think the smart person for a great comic book gift for
right.
their father
okay.
would be to do a little bit of research on their father.
Oh, okay.
A little bit of nostalgia for their
right,
father.
Right, right.
What, mom, what did dad like?
Right.
Comic-wise.
Comic-wise.
Not scotch. Not what kind of scotch he liked.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
not how he wanted you dressing up.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Maybe what as one way. Now, maybe that might be the right, you know,
right.
gift.
Yeah.
Mom as Wonder Woman.
Right. But. I think you do a little bit of research on your dad through the family and get him something that it could be something simple. Like, you know how, Chris, today the great part about comic books today is all the beautiful collections of the nostalgic heroes they have from the 50s, 60s, 70s, and,
right,
you know, and
80s
and all that kind of stuff. And find that gem, you know.
Yep.
Your dad loved, I don't know.
You make a very good point.
Creepy.
Because,
he read Creepy in the late 60s.
You know, but you know, even more so, for example, my father never read any comic. Well, I mean, he probably did when he was a little kid.
Right.
But, you know, like Mutt and Jeff and that
sure.
kind of thing. But I actually found he was a big fan of the Laurel and Hardy movies, and I actually found a Laurel and Hardy comic book out
See?
There. So that was I remember I got that for him many years ago.
Right.
So
right.
so there are many as a myriad of different types of comics out there to get for your father that has it all.
A myriad. Great,
myriad.
Great, great. And you know what? I think dad's it beats a tie.
It really does. You know? It really does, yeah.
But I don't know. It comes a close second to a nice bottle of 18-year-old Highland Park,
yeah,
if you ask me.
It really does.
Yeah.
It really does.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, listen, let's keep going. We've got about 10 minutes left.
Is it right or
Mitch,
less,
about
less
10
than
minutes
that?
Left.
10 minutes?
Chris, let's continue our talk.
Oh, he's saying 9 minutes now.
Right. About the future of comics. The
future of comics.
You and I were talking about that last week. We got a little animated. You went a little overboard with your arguments.
I did?
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
I know you drank too much.
That's yeah, well, probably,
right.
yeah.
We're talking
There's
about,
no probably about it.
We're talking about comics at this point in time being at a crossroads.
A crossroads.
At an opportunity, a moment. There's an opportunity for comics.
A moment in time, if you
a
will.
A moment in time.
Yes.
We saw the May figures.
Right.
40% increase in sales in graphic novels, in comic books.
Yep.
Comic books are hot.
They really are.
Back.
Comic books are back in a big way, you know, and in no part to the Avengers movie.
Sure.
Spider-Man movie coming out.
Batman.
Batman's coming out. There's all kinds of great, great comic book related properties even. You know, Batman Arkham City for the game consoles has come out.
They're going to make a Captain Canuck movie.
There's Captain Canucks coming out. Sure, absolutely. You know, I'll dream with you, pal. I'll dream with
right
you. Captain Canuck movie. Sure, why not, right?
Listen, so how, I guess, how do we keep it going? Obviously, there's a market for comics, right?
Yeah.
And we all thought 3 years ago the comics were dying the slow death.
Yeah, because digital.
Now there's excitement.
Now digital was taking over.
Right.
And I think, as always with every medium, it just depends on how good the stuff is when it's coming out. Like, you know, if people could have said that, you know, kids aren't reading enough, then all of a sudden you get a Harry Potter, and all of a sudden now kids are reading again,
and,
right?
And Hunger Games.
Hunger
and
Games.
All
and Twilight Zone or whatever it's called.
Yeah. Twilight Zone. Yeah.
Twilight Zone. Twilight
all
series,
right,
whatever
listen,
it is.
I still think, we talked about this before, comics has a distribution problem.
Yes,
our
absolutely.
Distribution system for comic books is limited to specialty shops, which are dying off quicker than they're coming online.
And let's not forget about the fact that comics only have one distributor.
Yeah.
Like, it's just – it's not even that it's like, you know, you can get – like there's competition through between different distributors for the specialty shops.
Right.
There's only one.
Sure.
That's it.
Yeah.
Like, so we need more distributors out there.
Yeah. We do need more distributors for competitive pricing.
Yes.
But we also need more final point of sales.
I agree.
So here, let me ask you this. Is the solution – and in comic book retailing has changed. You know, you've been in retailing for comic books for years, decades.
Yeah.
Okay? Is the answer, you know, hey, Bob, let's open a comic store, right? Is it that? Because it doesn't take that anymore. That used to be the old – you can start up a comic store for $3,000. You can't anymore.
No,
you really
need to have – you know what? You need to have – I hate to say it, but you need to have the kind of comic selection that you'd have at a regular store. You need, I hate to say it, but you need to have it at places like Indigo and Chapters and things like that.
Right.
So people – where mainstream – people will go in there and they'll search around and all of a sudden they'll see comic books and they'll start buying them.
Corporations have time and again proven that they cannot manage comic systems. Comics are the comic systems of – because if you're – like you have to manage it locally and they can only manage it nationally.
Well,
and it's been tried in the States and it hasn't worked.
And you know what? One of the problems I believe it's actually a weird conundrum because believe it or not – you need to have comics be cheaper, but in order for them to be cheaper, because that way if they're cheaper, they can, you know, you can go back to the old distribution system where they get ripped off, the covers get ripped off, and they get thrown out.
Yeah.
But you can't go back in time because you don't, nobody's going
to
buy.
I don't think we have to go that route.
But you can't do that though.
I know. I don't think you have to go. I think, let's say, you know, if the rate goes like this, if it keeps going at this rate, you're going to have 600-700 primo comic shops in North America.
Right.
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 If the mom and pa's slowly die out.
Right.
And the kids trying to start up their own, you know, on $100 don't pan out.
Right.
So is it – I'm asking you, is it – should these guys – should the Silver Snails, Midtowns of the world open up branch shops to reach
absolutely
more people?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like should there be 11 Midtowns?
Well, yeah, why not?
Seven Silver Snails in the Toronto area reaching everywhere.
Yeah, I think there should be more franchises available because really comic book shops are one of the few things that – I mean most – there's no actual – that I'm aware of.
Right.
There's no franchise opportunities for comic shops.
Yeah.
Usually they're all owned by the same guy, right?
Yeah, so, and I think the biggest one in the States only has 8 or 9 shops. I think it's Lone Star.
But isn't it all owned by the same person?
Yeah.
Right?
So, yeah.
I mean, and I'm saying that people should be able to go to – you know, your Big B, your Silver Snail, your whatever, Midtown or whatever it is, and say, hey, look, here's my $25,000 franchise fee. Mm-hmm. Let me open up one of your stores, but in Edmonton or but in somewhere else.
Here's a question.
Okay.
Remember last week we talked about Midtown opening up in Schwartz.
Yes, F.O. Schwartz, yeah.
Is that a model? Is because the big national chains, let's say a Toys R Us. Let's say a Toys R Us is perfect.
Yeah.
Let's say Toys R Us outsources 800 square feet.
Yep.
You know how they do the electronic gaming thing there?
Yep.
Maybe they had like if they had a comic shop, but they can't run it. You see, I'm convinced that Toys R Us cannot run this. They have to almost outsource it to a Midtown.
Right.
A snail.
Right, right,
a shop that really, really knows their stuff in comics, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that can adapt to local trends because
you have
Yeah, I don't know because comic shops do that, whereas Toys R Us is they just get 800 Legos
whatever
and everything and then just ship everything back.
But then it gets liquidated if it doesn't sell. And,
but that's not the model that seems to work for distribution of comics.
No.
The publishers and stuff don't go that way.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, we can talk about this on and on, like digital only. That's not the way to go, right?
No,
obviously
no,
print. Not, is,
well, obviously
is
print is not
back.
Dying,
yeah.
Right? We've obviously seen that with the sales from May. So I think there has to be some sort of franchise opportunities that are going to exist. So,
all right.
Anyways, looks like we're out of time, unfortunately. Again.
All right, this is a topic we'll talk about more. Anyway, distribution. Comics need better distribution to reach more people.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. All right. Well, let's end it there, Walt.
All right. Chris, Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by Mitch Bookstein. Comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link. Scroll down to the comments field and add your comments.
And remember, never drive faster than you can see. Besides, it's all in the reflexes.
Right. Oh, please. I forgot to mention that you can listen to the podcast on comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. Go out, please, and support your local comic book store.
And have yourself a great day.